jesus.com.
Desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. Proverbs 19:2 is a good reminder to do our homework when managing money, especially when we're investing. Avoiding financial mistakes is an important goal, but so is investing for the right reasons. Today, host Rob West explores that and more with Matt Bell of Sound Mind Investing, a degree in finance not required. Then we'll take your calls on any financial topic at 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore, the education of an investor. That's you next on MoneyWise Live. Rob, our old friend Matt Bell is managing editor at SMI and the author of four different books on personal finance. He joins us now by phone to talk about a personal journey he's been on for the last 8 years or so and to share what he's learned about investing.
Well, that's right, Steve, and we can't wait to hear his story. Matt, delighted to have you back with us on MoneyWise Live.
Really good to be with you guys again.
Matt, I think many listeners will relate to what you have to say because you were something of a newbie when you started at SMI, and I'd love for you to begin by just telling us that story as you started out there.
Sure. So when I joined the company in 2012, I mean, I had like two decades of experience writing and speaking about biblical money management. I had a chance to learn from some great mentors and teachers, and so I felt well-equipped to teach people biblical principles and to teach some really practical things like getting out of debt, which was part of my story, and using a budget and generosity and that sort of thing. But honestly, I would have been the first to say that investing, out of all the different financial topics, that was my weakest link. And so it's been a blessing to be part of SMI since 2012 because I really think that when I joined, that's when my education as an investor really began. And over the past 8 years, I would kind of put the lessons I've learned into three buckets. I would put them into the buckets of faith, knowledge, and action. And these are areas where we hope to impact everybody we have a chance to influence and come alongside, trying to help them improve their financial condition while they draw closer to Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. And you and I had a chance to get to know one another when you were back with the team at Good Sense and as a writer, and delighted that you've now been with SMI there for quite a while, since 2012. And we enjoy just a wonderful partnership with the entire team there. You mentioned three key lessons. You mentioned the first being faith. And that may surprise some people because when they think about investments, they think certainly, yeah, we need some knowledge. And of course, we want to take some action. But what does that have to do with our faith? So what has your time at SMI taught you about the importance of faith in our financial decisions and most certainly in this area of investing?
Yeah, it actually started even before I joined SMI, Rob, as my wife and I really prayed and talked about the decision to join the organization. What was really helpful for me was reading Austin Pryor's story. Austin is the founder of Sound Mind Investing, and in the back of his book, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, he tells his story, and so whenever somebody buys the book, that's where I encourage them to start in the back of the book, because it's really a great, compelling story that really speaks to his heart and his faith. And so some of the things that I came across in that section of the book, it just really reminded me of how little we're capable of on our own, and yet how much we're capable of through faith. And it's the story of Austin growing in humility and patience and cultivating a ever deeper relationship with Christ. So I was really just struck by his heart and his relationship with Christ that was really important in my decision, really, in joining SMI. You know, Rob, as you know, and Steve, there are many, many biblical principles that apply directly to investing, everything from patience, taking that, as the Bible says, steady plodding approach to things, diversification, wise counselors, that sort of thing. But I think that where SMI has helped me the most is in checking my motivations as an investor. You know, something that Austin wrote was that I've become convinced that it's ultimately impossible to self-destruct financially if your decision-making is pointed in the direction of God's glory. And so that question, is this decision pointed in the direction of God's glory, has really become embedded in the process of all manner of our financial decisions.
I love that. I've become convinced that it's ultimately impossible to self-destruct financially if your decision-making is pointed in the direction of God's glory. And I think that certainly applies to all the decisions we make. You know, my experience is that your financial journey is one of the key ways that God shapes your spiritual journey. And that's why we're so excited each day to unpack these principles and apply them to our lives, which ultimately is about our relationship with the Father. Well, Steve, a lot more to come with Matt Bell around the corner.
Indeed, looking forward to it. Here's our phone number if you'd like to join, 800-525-7000. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you need investing guidance, you probably want help that's grounded in God's Word. That's the approach taken by Sound Mind Investing. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire wisdom and confidence in their investing. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a good and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available online at soundmindinvesting.org.
How strong is your faith? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond from ChristianityWorks.com. I read this recently on Facebook. The way we deal with uncertainty lets us know whether Jesus is ahead of us leading or behind us just carrying our stuff. Pretty confronting. Look, I know the corona pandemic is serious, and yes, we should be taking sensible precautions. Still, some people will lose their livelihood. Some people will get sick, and yes, some people will die. That's just the reality. And yet God wrote down every one of your days before any of them ever existed. Today, tomorrow, next week, next month. None of this is any surprise to Him. And He has it all covered. From this day through to your very last day on this earth, He has it covered. So, yes, be sensible, but don't be afraid.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Matt Bell from SoundMindInvesting.org is with us today. We're taking your calls and questions on investing or anything that you might be wondering about. Here's our phone number, 800-525-7000. Rob?
You know, as a writer, researcher for SMI and for many other organizations before that, Matt is so well-versed in so many areas of finance, but all from a biblical perspective. So we've asked him to stick around today. He'd love to take some of your questions today. We look forward to hearing from you. But first, Matt, we've been talking about these three big ideas you have taken away in your time with SMI. You talked about this first one being this idea of faith, and that really, ultimately, it's impossible to self-destruct financially if your decision-making is pointed in the direction of God's glory. I love that. But let's move along to this second one, and it's really this idea of the importance of knowledge. Of course, that should be a part of every financial decision we make, and part of that is knowing what to do, right?
Right, and within investing, there's a lot that a person could know. So again, one of Austin's philosophies that has made its way through the organization is that we attempt to teach people what they really need to know about investing, not everything there is to know, because it could get overwhelming. But even within that realm of need to know, Rob, I think there's quite a bit that a Christian, a Christ follower, really should know about investing. And so just to pick one example, it sounds simple, but the stock market moves through cycles. And I think I've gained a much better appreciation for the reality of that and what that means for me as an investor of God's resources. So the market over time will cycle between bull markets and bear markets, good markets and bad markets. And so we shouldn't be too disturbed when a bear market comes knocking on the door and the market starts heading down. We should expect that. And having that expectation, having that expectation managed can help a lot in staying with the stock market.
Yeah. Well, it's such a key lesson, Matt. And I know one of the other things that you learned in this area of knowledge has to do with the investment or financial news cycle that we can all get wrapped up in. What's the big idea there?
Yeah, that's right. It's really the idea that much of what passes for news in the investment world is really just people's opinions. And so when I started reading certain investment sites on a regular basis, at first I found it really disturbing and perplexing because literally within the same hour on the same site, you would see one really optimistic headline about the market and then one really pessimistic one. And I thought, well, who do I believe? And then I realized that, you know, there are some facts about the market, what the market does every day, but explaining why the market did that and certainly getting into the realm of what the market might do down the road, those are just people's opinions and guesses.
Great information, and we can direct that information to you and your question or comment today if you'll give us a call, 800-525-7000. Let's do that, Miami, Florida. Hi, Jessica. Welcome to MoneyWise Live. What's your question for Rob West and Matt Bell?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My question is, how do I...
Jessica, we're losing you there. Could you get a little closer to your phone? We had you, and then we sort of lost you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. How do I guide two teenagers who are inheriting big inheritance from their deceased parent?
Jessica, give us just a little bit more information on that. Is it going into a trust? Will they start receiving it now? Will it be held for them down the road? What else can you add to that?
Yes. So the life insurance from his work, he's my brother, and he died unexpectedly.
Okay.
He is a life insurance from work.
Yes.
The children are 17. Both are 17, and it will be they can avail the money when they're 18. And okay. But he also has a pension plan that they could get a lump sum or a pension until they're 25. So.
Yeah.
What would be the best way of safeguarding, you know, this legacy?
Yes.
Well,
protecting those children from what is a blessing and yet could become anything other than that if it's not handled in the right way. So sorry to hear about your brother's passing, Jessica. Matt, what are your thoughts for Jessica today?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, it can be a tremendous blessing, but it's also a huge responsibility for the older people around them, such as yourself. And so I would get some wise counsel. I mean, Kingdom Advisors would be a great organization to find a Christian, well-trained, well-credentialed counselor to guide them in some decisions. But I love the idea of getting them started early. And just to give you some kind of broad principles, I mean, I love the idea of being generous with a portion of that. I love the idea of having some of it be fairly safely managed, so in savings and thinking about college, if they're teenagers, that's not too many years away, so you don't want to be taking too much, if any, risk with that money. And then to actually get them started with investing, I mean, our kids are 12, 14, and 16, they all have investment accounts, and there's nothing like, under the guidance of a well-trained Christian investment advisor, as they can get actual accounts where they can see what's going on in those accounts, that's the best way to learn. I mean, our kids are seeing terms like cost basis, and you know that would just go in one ear and out the other if it was a conversation over dinner. But if they actually get started with it, it'll become much more real.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Jessica. I think it's so critical right now that there are some safeguards put around them that they don't do anything substantial in terms of purchases or major changes here for a period of time until there can be the right types of accounts put in place, a significant portion of this money locked up in a sense that it's not able to be accessed so they can, you know, buy expensive cars and things like that. Because at 17 years old, you know, there's just not an ability to appreciate not only how much money it is, but how quickly it can evaporate. And certainly the worst thing we would want would be for this to interfere with their relationship with Christ, but also that it's just gone a few years from now. And so having the wise counsel that Matt speaks of, I think, is really critical. The right types of accounts, the right investments, the right mentors to come alongside them and guide them in the decision-making process for their needs now, but also for the investments to make sure that this money is preserved and available in the future. So what I do is head to our website, MoneyWiseLive.org. Just click on Find a CKA. That stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor there in the Miami area. I'd interview at least three with the kids, with the boys, and then make that decision so that somebody who's got God's wisdom and his principles along with that competency and experience that Matt talked about can walk with them throughout this process.
Jessica, we wish you the best. A great question, and we'll pray that God really shows up in a big way in the hearts of your teenagers, and that ultimately this is going to be a real blessing to the entire family. Thanks very much for your call. Grand Rapids. Hi, Mary. We have a couple of minutes here. How can we help you?
My question is quick. Would it be wise for me to give, let's say, $1,000 to someone who wants to invest but has not the money to begin this process?
Yeah. Mary, without divulging anything that you're not comfortable sharing, is there anything else you might share about your relationship with these individuals? Are these children? Are they relatives, friends?
No.
And are they just starting out? Go ahead.
Yeah. It's a mature woman, Christian woman, who just has not arrived at the point of life. She's not from a family where they have passed down inheritances. So she can't seem to get ahead at all.
Yes. And what are you thinking with regard to what you would give? And are you talking about really asking her to earmark it specifically for investments? Or perhaps could this gift be used some other way to shore up an emergency fund or pay off some debt? Talk to me about the current state of her finances and how you're planning to give it, perhaps what instructions you were planning to give along with the gift.
Okay. This comes from her desire to begin investing. She wants to learn how to invest, and I'm concerned that when you do that all by yourself, you don't always get the advice that you need.
Yeah.
I don't think she has to have deliverance from lots of debts or anything like that. She just wants to start being wise.
Okay. And you would be giving this as a gift, not asking for anything back in return. Is that right?
Correct. Total gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Matt, your thoughts on just Mary's idea here around this gift, and then also where she could go, perhaps SMI, to get some information on how to actually invest.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. I mean, it's a very generous thing you're offering to do, not just the money, but it sounds like perhaps your experience with investing, and so for you to come alongside her and walk her through the process and share some of the knowledge you've learned would be a great, great gift for her. You know, I assume you're willing to fully release this money, come what may, with that money. But as long as you're riding along with her and guiding her, I think it could be a tremendous blessing. And so you can pick up knowledge about it. I mean, our website certainly offers lots of free information about investing, and certainly from a biblical perspective. So I think it could be a really great gift that you're talking about giving.
Yeah, I love it as well, Mary. So I think you're headed in the right direction here. Be sure to direct her to SMI at soundmindinvesting.org. And by the way, stay on the line. Amy Rios, our producer today, will get your information, and we'll send you a copy of the Sound Mind Investing Handbook that you can hand off to her along with this gift if you decide to do it. So she'll have some helpful insight, and this is just a wonderful resource to get her started as she begins this journey.
Yeah. We're discussing biblical concepts and principles as they relate to investing with one of our good friends from soundmindinvesting.org, Matt Bell. And we'll be back with more right after this. Please stick around.
Do you know if you have enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
Glory in both the Old Testament Hebrew and the New Testament Greek. Glory is a term of weight. I want you to hear, I want you not to turn right now, but I'm going to read you 2 Corinthians 4:17 because it describes it in these kind of terms. "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." What it's saying is this: if we put all our sufferings in this present lifetime on one side of that scale, and then God drops the glory that He's going to reveal in us on the other side of the scale. I want you to picture, my mind went back to the seesaw at Arkadelphia, Arkansas Primary School many, many years ago that I was forever scared to get on because I was a very scrawny kid and I was always so scared that somehow I was going to get thrown off that seesaw. And I want you to just picture it with me because we really do believe, we think we have been through, some of us have been through some real live suffering, and we put all of that on that one. I mean, and we just see that seesaw. We're all the way down here, and that the other side of it just up there and empty. That's what happens if we do not entrust ourselves to God. That's what we did.
You've been listening to Beth Moore with today's quick word. Beth is dedicated to encourage people to come to know and love Jesus Christ through the study of Scripture. Why wait? Click online today. Pick a podcast or television teaching or both. Just visit BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org. Or download the Living Proof app. Search for Beth Moore in your app store.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones. Or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Nice to have you with us today. It's MoneyWise Live, and our guest is Matt Bell, managing editor at soundmindinvesting.org. You really ought to check him out. Lots of wonderful material there to help you with your biblical perspective on investing, with lots of great practical information as well. Let's continue. Chicago, Illinois. Rebecca, what's on your mind?
Hi, I am so happy I'm on the radio on this call. I did a lot of homework, and I am hoping you guys can yay or nay what I'm about to do.
Okay.
I purchased a condo, and the rates have gone down, but not necessarily for a condo. So I did a little digging. My interest rate is 4.375. And in speaking with a person, they're like, you know, if you refinance, it's not going to be to your benefit. And I'm like, okay. And the reason it's not to my benefit, there's closing costs involved. When I bought the condo, I put 20% down, and I've been making at least $200 extra towards paying $200 extra towards the principal.
Okay.
So here's my question. I have a brokerage account. It's a mutual funds account that I've made in 2017. It's got $28,000 in it. I want to take it out and I want to put it to the principal of my house.
Yeah.
What is your thoughts on that?
All right, a couple of clarifying questions, Rebecca, and thanks so much for that background. So 4.375 is the rate. You're paying an extra $200 a month. How long have you been paying on this mortgage?
So I bought the house last year. So my loan originally was 104. Right now I'm at 93.5.
So only a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Very good. And is it a 30-year mortgage?
No, I did a 15.
Okay, great. Good for you.
Good.
And this $28,000 that you have, is that in a retirement account or is it in a taxable account?
Well, I put $25,000 in, and I'm reading and I'm like, what kind of an account is this? It just says it's brokerage, mutual funds, money market. That's all okay, that so I keep on seeing everywhere.
Yeah, so you didn't open it through your work or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
No.
So this is probably a taxable account, which means there's no tax implications on you pulling the money out. You may have a gain or a loss that would be taxable when you sell the investments. Finally, what's the balance on that mortgage?
So the mortgage that I owe is $93,500.
Okay.
There are some other little financial tidbits that might help you. I have a 401k that has $86,000, but I don't want to touch it because the penalty is pretty steep.
Totally agree with that.
But I have $53,000 in my savings that's just sitting there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's separate from the $28,000.
That is correct, yep.
Okay, all right. And what are your monthly expenses, roughly, if you were to put them all together?
I didn't even figure that one out. But
yes, $5,000 a month more.
It's less than $5,000. I really try to be a minimalist because my goal here is to get this darn thing paid off.
Okay, so let's say it was $4,000 a month. Even 6 months of that would be $25,000, and you've got $50,000 set aside plus the $28,000 in the brokerage account. All right, Matt, should she refinance this 4.375% 15-year mortgage, or should she pull either from the $28,000 or part of the $50,000 and pay it down? Or both?
Yeah, well, if you don't mind, one or two more questions, and that would be, how far away are you from retirement, and do you plan to stay in this condo long term?
I foresee myself living here for the rest of my life, and I'm 47.
Okay, so you've got a bit of time yet before retirement comes up on the radar screen. So really the decision, I mean, it sounds like you have a strong desire to pay this off, and so the decision to me comes down to peace of mind, which would be huge, and having your mortgage completely paid off versus preparing for retirement. And so with interest rates low, you know, do you need the money to be invested? You said it's in a money market. Could you put that into a more aggressive investment to better prepare for retirement? So it's hard to give a absolute yes or no answer to that, but I think it really comes down to peace of mind, which I think I hear kind of looming from you that may be the beneficial way to go, is to pay it off with that extra money you've got.
Yeah, I would agree. I think you could pay it down and refinance, though, because you're going to save well over a point. 15-year mortgage, you could get down to 2.875. Hang on the line. We'll finish up with you off air. Matt, thanks for being with us today, bud.
Sure thing.
And we'll be back with you right after this.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Hi, this is John Hemmer from Moody Radio. The Moody Radio verse of the week is found in Genesis 5, verses 1 and 2. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And he named them mankind when they were created. That's Genesis 5, verses 1 and 2, the Moody Radio verse of the week.
Long for something good, true, and secure. There's a hunger for a hope that goes beyond politics and entertainment and reaches deep into our souls. That hunger can only be satisfied by Jesus. For more than 90 years, Moody Radio has faithfully delivered that message of hope to millions so they can take the next step in their walk with Christ.
Call 1-800-DL-MOODY or visit moodyradio.org.
Your family and your money are two very important subjects. That's why in this month's MoneyWise e-magazine, we're giving your family tips and tools to grow closer to God, closer together, and closer to true financial freedom. Get practical advice to strengthen financial communication in your marriage, infuse more budget-friendly family activities into your week, and a lot more. Your free MoneyWise e-magazine subscription is waiting for you at moneywise.org/signup.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Scientists at Oxford University reporting some success with their experimental coronavirus vaccine. In an early trial, the vaccine has been shown to prompt a protective immune response in hundreds of people who got the shot. British researchers first began testing the vaccine in April. President Trump bringing back the daily White House coronavirus task force briefings. Those public sessions ended in late April, but Mr. Trump plans to resume them starting this week. Top GOP leaders met today with the president to discuss the next COVID-19 aid package. Speaking with reporters in the Oval Office, the president expressing optimism about getting a package hammered out. Big technology companies powered stocks higher today. The Dow picked up 8 points, the Nasdaq up 263, and the S&P 500 gained 27. This is SRN News.
It's MoneyWise Live. Your host is Rob West. I'm Steve Moore, and we're pleased as punch that you join us today. Here's our phone number again, 800-525-7000. But that's not the only way you can check in with us. We have something new that we call the MoneyWise e-magazine. Tell us about this, Rob.
Well, I'll tell you, it's the second edition that's just come out. It's called the MoneyWise Family. That's our theme for the summer. And so If you're looking for ways to communicate better as husband and wife, aren't we all about everything, but most certainly this area of money, we've got that addressed. If you're preparing to enter a marriage relationship, maybe you're engaged and thinking about that wedding that's right around the corner, well, we've got some questions you all should ask each other just to prepare for the financial part of your new married life. Maybe you're preparing for a new child, like our social media director, Hope, is. Well, we've got an article on that as well and much more. So go to our website, moneywiselive.org. You can click subscribe right there at the top of the page. We'll send it to you free of charge. And by the way, check out our resources. We've got a couple of great new resources that were just added. Number one is 7 Things Not to Do with Your Money in Uncertain Times. We also just added a great free download on 4 principles and 4 skills you need to pass on to your kids so they're money smart. That's all right there at moneywiselive.org.
Yeah, and I've heard, word on the street is that in this particular issue of the MoneyWise e-magazine, because there are summer activity ideas, that there's a photo of Rob and his family frolicking on the beach. Is that
true? I don't think that's true.
No?
I don't think so. but not in this edition.
Must have been on the wrong website. Okay. Chicago.
We like to frolic, though, whatever that means.
Chicago, Illinois. Hello, Ruth. What's on your mind?
Hi there.
Hi.
So I have a question. So basically, I'm 48 years old. I have a condo. I have like $4,000 only in my savings, but I have a credit card that is $75,000 or $85,000 in a hole. So my question is, should I take the $4,000, maybe keep $1,000 for emergency funds, right, and put the other $3,000 towards the credit card? I forgot to say I'm unemployed.
Okay.
Should I keep the money until I find a job, and then once I have the security of a job, then take that money that I have saved and put it towards the credit card?
Gotcha. Yeah, your line is breaking up, but I did hear the gist of your question, Ruth. Let me just ask one quick follow-up. Did you say the credit card balance is $75,000 to $80,000?
No, $7,500.
Okay.
So basically, it's either 7,500 or 8,000.
Okay, I'll take that answer. That's a little bit better. I feel much better now. Well, Ruth, first of all, let me just say, I'm sorry to hear that you're out of work right now. Let me just encourage you, though. God is your provider. And when we're finished here today, I'd love to pray for you and just ask that he would intervene miraculously and give you that next job, so that you can provide for yourself and those who depend upon you. I know this is a difficult season right now, and yet the Lord is near to you. Second of all, I'm glad you're asking this question because, you know, I certainly know you want to be out of debt. I'm thrilled to hear, though, that even in these uncertain times, you have some savings. Now is not the time to be focused on debt reduction. Now is the time for you to really shore up what you have and try to stay the course and try to preserve the best you can the savings that you have. It's not going to do anything for you to get that $7,000 down to $3,000. Certainly you'll save some interest, but the payment's not going to go away. And if the unexpected comes, or if this job situation extends a bit longer where you don't have that next job right away, I don't want you to have to go back to the credit cards and, in a sense, live on those. So let's hang on to this $4,000 that we have. What's going to be your better option, even once you get that job, is not to eradicate all of your emergency savings, but your better option is going to be to visit with our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org, a debt management program. Ruth will help you get this going in the right direction through the level monthly payment, the reduction in interest rates. On average, folks who work with Christian Credit Counselors will pay off their debt 80% faster. And the great news is there's some wonderful believers there that'll walk alongside you in that process. So let's sit tight with the $4,000. Let's make your full-time job finding that next job, and then let's go ahead and get connected with Christian Credit Counselors so that when you get that job, you can move quickly into a debt management program. And let me pray for you. Father, we just lift Ruth up to you. Lord, you are her provider, no one else. We tell you today we trust you. Thank you that you love us. And Lord, we just ask that you would intervene, that you would provide that job, that you would perhaps put it on the mind and the heart of somebody in Ruth's life to let her know where it is, or perhaps she'd come across it herself. Whatever it might be, Lord, we just ask that you would bring provision into her life, your hand of protection and blessing over her, and we just look forward to celebrating with her as to what you're going to do next in her life. We leave her in your hands and tell you today we love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Ruth. One more, West Lafayette, Indiana. I've been there. Nick, you have a question about college, huh?
Yes, sir. Thank you all so much for your show. We love your show.
Thank you.
My question is college saving fund, and what is the real advantage of really saving up for that versus having one investment account that can be used for any purposes, including college? Does that make sense?
It makes total sense, Nick, and it's a great question to be asking. You know, here's the real benefit to using a college savings fund. We would often refer you to a 529 college savings versus just taking the same amount of money and dropping it in a very well-diversified, high-performing mutual fund, something with a long track record. The main benefits are twofold. Number one, it almost becomes like a Roth IRA. So the taxes are not going to be addressed on the investments like they would be if you just put it into a taxable account inside a mutual fund. So it's going to grow tax-free, and then as long as you use the money for qualified educational expenses, or you transfer it to another child who's going to use it that way, or you pull it out to pay off up to a certain limit student loans, then you don't ever pay any tax on all the gains that you accumulate over the years that it's in the money, in the account. So that's the first benefit. The second benefit really only applies to those who may qualify for financial aid, and it's this, that when the money goes into a 529 plan, it's going to be treated as an asset of the parent, which for the FAFSA is going to be factored in at a much lower percentage in terms of the expected family contribution. But in either case, the real benefit is the tax benefit of the 529. So for that reason, what I do is head to savingforcollege.com. You'll want to evaluate the in-state 529 plan there in Indiana versus what you might get in the way of performance, at least based on historical averages from another state's plan, which, by the way, just about every state allows non-residents to move into their 529. So you can pick the one that has done the best. And then I would just be consistent in making systematic contributions. And I think you'll be thrilled with the performance over time and ultimately having that money growing for you so it's there when you need it down the road.
Nick, we hope that works for you. Great question. I'm sure it probably also applies to a number of other people who are in the same situation, and we're glad that you called today. Thank you very much. When we come back, well, we'll speak with Dwayne, and we'll also speak with Amelia in Chicago. We might even get around to some emails. If you have a brief email for Rob, just a couple of lines. The address is questions@moneywise.org. That would be questions@moneywise.org. More MoneyWise Live right after this.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand the urgency and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity. Surprisingly, the Kenny Rogers lyric, "No one to hold them, no one to pull them," is a great guide for faith sharing. No one to walk away, no one to run. You see, every faith sharing experience is a divine appointment with a specific time frame. And that time frame is often less than we expect. Say one more thing, you'll be seen as a person with an agenda, which of course you are, but you don't want them to know you are, to know that your agenda is getting them into heaven. When you stop trying to convince people about God in your own strength and allow God to do all the work, the Holy Spirit will fill you with boldness or restraint to accomplish His goal for that conversation. You just want to follow God's lead. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God just used you to lead somebody to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
Brent was a victim of racist threats.
I run track, right? And I'm training in the summer. Five white guys pull up on me in a pickup truck, and they just start shouting, you know, things about how they're going to kill me.
As they threatened to kill Brent, the men also shouted racial slurs at him. But as a Christian, Brent chose to respond not with anger, but forgiveness.
To me, it seemed very clear about what the role of the gospel was in that situation. Like, love those who hate you and persecute you. So it just felt like, well, then how could I do anything else?
Choosing to love is the way of Jesus. As Billy Graham once explained,
this was the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was being crucified. Father, forgive them. He did not lash out at his enemies and take revenge. He prayed for those who were driving the nails into his hands. The attitude of the Christian is to be one of prayer and love.
Learn more at findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow. But sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Proverbs 15 reminds us, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. Just do your very best to find biblical principles who have principles and thoughts that are not only biblical, but match yours. That way, counseling will be a lot easier and a lot more effective. Let's continue. Arkansas. Hello, Dwayne. Thanks for holding, sir. What's your question?
Hi. I may have to ask this question in a couple of different ways to get the question out of my mind, but basically, is there any way to hold property in a 401k status, or is there some way to take 401k funds and maintain the benefit and own property instead of stocks, basically?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there is something called a self-directed IRA, that allows you to hold investments in other types of assets. And there's also a self-directed 401k as well. It has to be set up that way because it's a different type of 401k or IRA. But the bottom line is the investments can be in real estate, in other companies, in your own C Corp. It can be in any number of things. It does take a special custodian who is able to handle those types of self-directed accounts, but you can absolutely do that, and that's what it's for. Again, it's called a self-directed IRA or 401k, and it would allow you to hold these assets other than investments, stocks, and bonds. The challenge is most people just don't have access to them through their company, and so you'd have to check and see whether that would be possible if somebody's willing or looking into establishing a 401k, whether that would be something they could set up. Certainly, you could open your own self-directed IRA, and you could, you know, if you have an old 401k, you could roll over to that IRA. Then that would be, you know, one way to handle it. Does that make sense, though, Dwayne?
There is a way to do it, is what you're saying.
There is absolutely a way to do it if you want to own real property, but it would have to be either where your employer sets up a self-directed 401k or where you open a self-directed IRA yourself and you have the ability to transfer, let's say, an old 401k over to it or make new contributions. The problem is, you know, unless you have an old 401k that you can roll into that self-directed IRA, it'd take you quite a while to build up enough to buy a piece of real estate with new contributions to a self-directed IRA just because of the cap that you have on what you can contribute each year. The only other way to do that, though, Dwayne, would be through what's called a REIT, a real estate investment trust. Now, that's just an investment, a basket of real estate investments in the form of a security, but you're probably talking about real property that you want to own, a specific piece of property, and the only way to do that is through the self-directed account.
Where would be a good resource to get that documentation or instruction?
You know, if you just go online and just Google self-directed 401k or self-directed IRA, you can do all the reading you want. Investopedia, you know, any number of websites, you know, would have them. I trust Investopedia. It's one of the biggest. And you can read for days about how self-directed IRAs and 401ks work.
And Dwayne, again, we appreciate your phone call today. Thank you very much. Chicago, lots of calls from Chicago today. Amelia, you have a 20-year mortgage. You're wondering about refinancing, huh?
Yes, I am. I have a 20-year mortgage, and I pay biweekly. When I looked into it, they told me that I can if I wanted to. My payments will not change much, but I might save about a year.
Okay.
So I'm about 5 years away from retirement, and I really want to pay off this house. So I'm trying to look for ways to pay off the house as soon as possible.
Okay, so do you have a biweekly mortgage, or you're just paying it biweekly on your own?
No, I do have a biweekly mortgage, but on top of that, I also give about $100 every other week.
Good for you.
Or actually, every 2 weeks, I give $100 extra. So a month, it's $200 a month extra.
Okay, good for you. And you said you're 5 years out from retirement. It was a 20-year mortgage. How many years are left on that 20-year mortgage?
I got it in 2016, so about 16 years.
Okay. And when you talked to them about refinancing, were you looking at doing a new 20-year or a shorter term?
A 15-year.
15-year, okay. And what is your current rate, and what would your new interest rate be?
My current rate is 4%. The new interest would be somewhere about 2.85.
Yeah, good. I like this plan. You know, here's why. You are shrinking the term. You're going from 16 years to 15. That's key number one. We don't want to lengthen the term. You're saving at least a point on the interest. In fact, a little better than a point. Just make sure you're not paying a lot of extra fees like discount points and things like that when you get that new mortgage. But as long as you plan on staying in this property, you're going to save a lot of money in interest over the life of the loan. It'll take a little while to pay back the cost of the refinance, but that'll happen probably in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years. And once you do, every month, you'll be saving interest in the form of that lower rate. And I would do a new biweekly. If you don't set it up that way, at least just pay it that way yourself. They don't have to do that for you. You can do that on your own. And if you're going to continue sending extra, that's a great idea also. So I think this is a great plan here, Amelia, and I would definitely move forward with it.
Amelia, we appreciate that, and we wish you the very best as you go forward. Does sound like a good plan indeed. Rob, how about a quick email? Actually, it's not an email. Someone called in and left this comment for us from Akron, Ohio. They prefer to be anonymous. They say, my parent died. Let's see. My parent died. Her house is paid off. I owe $53,000 on my home. And I'm having trouble with my computer here. Should we sell her house to pay off ours or rent our home?
Okay, I think it's rent out her home. So I assume that the home we're speaking of here is the deceased's home, and perhaps it was left to you in the will. And so if you're now the sole owner, then you have the option to either sell it and pay off your primary residence or rent it out and make it an income stream. And I think you could go either way. A couple of considerations. One would be if you really want to be debt-free, you have a conviction around that, then I have no problem with you going ahead and selling it. Let's wipe out your mortgage. Now you have the peace of mind to know that you're completely unencumbered, and then take the balance of the proceeds and invest them. Put them in a stock and bond portfolio consistent with your goals and objectives. Or if you've had experience previously, or you feel like you're ready to become a landlord and you'd rather generate an income off of this property, recognizing there's going to be some work, keeping it repaired and taking care of the renters and making sure you, when they move out, that you take care of the challenges that you have there in the home and all that goes along with that. I'm a believer in that type of a strategy, but you just have to recognize all that comes with it. So if, in fact, you really are excited about being completely out of debt, I wouldn't hesitate to sell the property, pay off your mortgage. But if you've really been looking for a chance to become a landlord, that can be a great way to build assets and create an income stream for yourself. I'd have no problem going that way. But if you're new to that, see if you can find somebody who's done it before, maybe at your church or a friend or family member who could walk alongside you.
Okay. And we appreciate that comment. And if you have a quick or a brief question for Rob, you can send it along to questions@moneywise.org, questions@moneywise.org. Out to Spokane, Washington. Hello, Marilyn. We have a little bit of time, so let's see how much we can jam in here. What's on your mind?
Okay. My husband passed away in November of last year, and he handled all the investments. And they are currently with Charles Schwab. And I've spoken with a representative down there, a couple of them actually, and they want to handle my investments. And I just haven't felt moved yet to hand them over and pay the yearly fee that they want to do that. I also looked up on your website, MoneyWise Live, and the counselors that you have, and I spoke to one investment person also who's with another company. Anyway, I just haven't been led yet to release that and, do it. I know I can't go on forever just leaving things the way they are.
Yeah. Well, Marilyn, a couple of thoughts. Number one, I'm so sorry to hear about your husband's passing. I'm happy to hear that you haven't made any decisions quickly. I think, he passed away last November. The fact that you've taken these 8 months or made any major changes would have been what I would have recommended last November. Just as you pray through this and really look to where God might be leading in the days ahead, specifically in this area of the resources that he's entrusted to you. I know you have some apprehension around the fees associated with somebody who's going to take over management. But I think the way I would look at it is, as long as the fees are in line with what might be typical, and we can talk about that in just a moment, I think having somebody who's a professional who can look after these assets, manage them according to your goals and objectives and where God's leading you with regard to your lifestyle and what his calling is on your life in this next season and how much giving you want to do and all of that, I think is going to be worth worth every penny? Again, assuming it's appropriate. What do you have roughly in the way of total investable assets, if you don't mind me asking?
I haven't looked at it lately, but I think it's around $700,000.
Okay. So with $700,000, you know, anything less than 1%, I think, would be reasonable. It's a lot of money, but again, in terms of fees, but it's going to be worth it to have somebody who's going to do a professional job protecting this and then growing it and helping you realize your goals and objectives. So I'd interview face-to-face at least three advisors, perhaps the Schwab advisor and maybe two certified Kingdom advisors there in Spokane, and see which one you feel like is the best fit for you. But the bottom line is, you know, the fees you're talking about here at around $5,600 is very appropriate, and I think you'll be glad you did it. Stay on the line. We'll talk a little bit more off air, and thanks for your call today.
We will indeed. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Join us again tomorrow.